Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Do shadows lurk in your life, perhaps in the form of discouragement, frustration, fear, abuse, debt, heartbreak, addiction, or loneliness? This hour, I invite you to leave the darkness and step into the light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Terry Whalen, editor and former literary agent who has spent a lot of time learning and sharing not only about publishing, but also how to make your voice heard through public relations, marketing, and effective communications. Go grab a cup of coffee, settle into your favorite resting spot, and we'll return in 1 minute when Terry will join us on the show.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry Whalen understands both sides of the editorial desk as an editor and as a writer. A former literary agent, he currently serves as an acquisitions editor at Morgan James Publishing. He has written more than 60 books through traditional publishers in a wide range of topics, from children's books to biographies to co-authored books. Billy Graham, A Biography of America's Greatest Evangelist, and Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, Inside Secrets to Skyrocket Your Success, released in 2014. Here this morning to share some of those secrets about success and his own life is Terry Whalen. Good morning, Terry, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patty. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you with us this morning, Terry. I ask most of my guests this question because when I look at the different professions and so such that I've had here on the show, Terry, I've had writers and I've had people that are in different aspects of life. And I like to ask my guests, how did they get from their childhood to where they are? So in other words, what factors in your childhood shaped your decision to choose a career in the publishing field?
Well, Patty, I have always loved books and reading and that kind of thing, and it was really a high school English teacher that thought I would probably be a good contributor to their high school newspaper, and so he encouraged me to join the high school paper. I did that when I was a sophomore in high school. The last year that I was in high school, I was the editor of that paper, and I thought I was a really hot shot writer back then. And so I went to Indiana University, which has one of the top 10 journalism schools in the country. I was living in Indiana at the time, and joined their newspaper staff. I thought I was really going to help them out. And they sent me out to do a little story, and I think I rewrote that story about four or five times, and it was like three paragraphs and didn't even have my name on it when it was published. And so I quickly learned back there at Indiana that I had a lot to learn in the publishing business, and sort of got me started on that particular path.
Well, very good. I can't even remember, Terry, to be honest, if we had a school newspaper in our high school. Isn't that terrible? I was one of the people that was kind of the square. You know, I wasn't a part of the in crowd, so.
Sure.
I don't remember a whole lot about high school, except that I worked hard so I could get out. Terry, you were raised in a Christian home, but you kind of wandered away from your beliefs in your college years, and that's not uncommon for young people to do once you get out there and you have your freedom and you get a little taste of the other side of life. So I know on your website you have an amazing story, and I think you entitled it How Two Words Changed Your Life. Would you share that with us?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Patty. Yeah, when I went to college, Indiana University has a campus of 30,000 people. So, you know, it's pretty easy to get lost there, you know, as far as that. Even though I was raised in the church and all that, I rebelled from my parents. You know, I thought, hey, as a journalist, I should be smoking a pipe, you know. I thought that was my thing. And so I started doing that, and I joined a social fraternity where I was drinking. I was rebelling from my upbringing in the church. And one day I joined the campus newspaper, and this was back in the old pre-computer days. So we were sitting at our old Royal typewriters there, and I had a really hard night the night before. If you made a mistake, you just backed up and X'd out and went on. And so I knew that I couldn't get my fingers on the right keys, and so I was kind of muttering to myself. Now, back then we had a big room that had 30 typewriters, and we were all sitting next to each other. And so you just kind of crawled into your own space as a writer, put your fingers on the keys, and wrote your piece. But I knew that my particular piece wasn't going to look very good when it actually got done, and my editor would be upset with me about that. So every mistake I made, I kept saying to myself, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And this little blonde-haired girl that was sitting next to me turned to me, and she said, oh, don't say that, Jerry, because one of these days when you really need Jesus, you'll call out for him, and he won't be there. And I thought, what in the world is this? You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church when I'm at home. I read the Bible in church when I'm at home. I sing in the choir when I'm at home. But I had no relationship back then with Jesus. And so she suggested that I go to this little Christian Logos bookstore a couple blocks off campus, and I'd find some pretty books and pretty posters and cards there, and maybe I'd find a book that interested me. And so I listened to her, and I wandered down there a couple of days later and looked at the books, and I found this book that was called Jesus the Revolutionary, and I thought, how in the world could Jesus be a revolutionary? I had no idea. So I bought that book, took it home with me. It's long out of print. It's from Gospel Light, Regal Books. And I read that book, and it showed me a side of Jesus that I'd never seen before. I mean, he was more than a praying figure in the Garden of Gethsemane or somebody raising his fingers and blessing children, but he was real. Mm-hmm. And about that time, somebody invited me to a Jesus people meeting in downtown Bloomington. They were all sitting on little pieces of carpet with candles and singing and all that. And I realized from going to that meeting that those people had something that I didn't have. And so there was never a point where I actually, you know, prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life or anything. But I started hanging out with these people. I got a Bible, and I've been, going the Jesus path ever since.
Well, that's an amazing story, Terry. And I think you talk about the book that you picked up, and that's exactly why when we feel called to be a writer that we should do that, because you never know whose life you're going to touch with that book.
No, absolutely. And that's the power of the printed word. You know, the Bible changes people's lives when they read that, but books do as well. And so that's part of the reason, you know, part of the primary reason I would say that I'm in book publishing today. Now, people don't realize this, but out of college, I made a left-hand turn, and I actually went into linguistics. I joined Wycliffe Bible Translators. I spent 17 years with them. Ten of those years, I was actually in linguistics. I worked among the Southwest Kachikel people in Guatemala. And then I wandered back to my writing probably about 20, 25 years ago and started writing for magazines and doing some things like that.
Wow, that is amazing. And I think I had read somewhere that you had worked with them, Terry, and I cannot begin to understand how people can translate from these old, what are the languages, Aramaic and Greek and all these things. I think, wow, it's just got to be absolutely amazing to be able to do that.
Well, we were working in unwritten languages. So we worked among the Southwest Quetzalcoatl people in Guatemala, and they didn't even have a written language, but we worked with them. And actually, the Nationals ended up finishing the New Testament, and we went down there in 1992 to celebrate them with them when the New Testament was done. So, yeah, it's quite a process.
I guess. How long does it take to do something like that, Terry?
Well, it just depends on the person. You know, the Nationals are able to do it quicker because they actually, you know, speak the language. They don't have to learn it and do all the type of work that Americans would have to do. But
sure,
it varies. Some people, it takes them 30 years to get their translation done. You know, it was about a 15-year process for us to do that. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, Terry, you've built a strong presence not only in the writing and the publishing industry, but you demonstrate excellence in communication and relationship building. You serve as a mentor and a teacher. I've seen you many times at writers' conferences. What obstacles did you have to overcome to gain this reputation? You didn't get all this overnight, I know. You worked hard for it, and I'm sure there was a lot of appeal to it.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten rejected just as much as anybody else out there, and I know that's a key part of it, Patty. But yeah, the relationship building part of it is really key. That's one of the reasons I go to writers' conferences, to meet new people and meet new editors and new people in this business. But yeah, I guess my transformational experience for me happened a while back when I was at. I was a literary agent several years ago. I had my own little agency in Phoenix when we lived there, and I was invited to come to a conference over in California called Mega Book Marketing University that Mark Victor Hansen from Chicken Soup for the Soul was putting on. And I met new writers while I was there, but also while I was there, I sat in all the classes and listened to what they were talking about. And you know, at that point in my life, I'd probably written about 50 books for traditional publishers, but I was doing very little on my own to be able to actually market the books and get them out there. And so while I was sitting there listening to all these things, I finally understood why my royalty statements were so small and why some of my books weren't really selling out there is because I wasn't taking my own responsibility as a writer to do anything. And so one of the things I do as an acquisitions editor now is I talk to writers about how, you know, it's probably 80% their responsibility to actually get out there and sell books. And I wasn't taking any responsibility at all. I was figuring my publisher was going to sell the books. Well, that's not realistic, you know, as far as how it works. So back then I just had a little website. I had terrywhalen.com, and I decided to start blogging and doing some other things to actually, raise my visibility in the marketplace. And that's a lesson that I think every writer needs to come to that point. You may not like doing all the marketing or promotion or whatever you want to call it, but you have to. It's the only way you're going to get your voice heard out there in the middle of all the noise.
Well, I have a question to ask you about the whole social media thing, Terry, because you sent me some figures here a while back that were just over the top for me. And this was a few months ago when we had scheduled a show previously and things didn't work out. So the numbers have probably changed, but you had at that time 147,000 followers on Twitter. You had 4,800 Facebook friends and 5,000 LinkedIn connections. Those numbers are really impressive. So I guess my question is, how in the world did you get that way?
Well, the answer is, I guess, the simple answer is I work at it every day, Patty. I've learned some things about simple ways that simple tools that I'm using, and people can learn those things from me on my blog, because I do write about those things. But like on the social media front, I tweet almost every hour throughout the day, and I use a tool called Hootsuite that's free. And so
yes.
I kind of load that up, and so I have some real ways that I'm giving good content on my Twitter feed, so that's attractive to people. And yeah, now I'm close to 170,000 followers on Twitter. I have almost 100 new followers a day that are people that are following me, and it's because I'm consistently taking action when it comes to that kind of thing. Now, I don't spend a ton of time on those social media things, because I'm a full-time acquisitions editor at a New York publishing house, and that's main thing that I do throughout the day. So I may spend like 30 minutes, a day on it, pretty much. But I do have all kinds of great things that happen to me because I'm involved in those kind of social networks consistently. If you go to my Twitter page, just look for my name, Terry Whalen. You'll see that I have my email address in my Twitter profile. I try to very hard to just be accessible to people and help them however I can help them. And I think that all comes back to you, Patty, and my philosophy. Zig Ziglar said years ago, if you help enough people achieve what they want, you'll achieve what you want to do in life. And I think that's very true. So that's just a part of my philosophy. I try to be one of the most accessible people in publishing. I answer my email, I answer my own phone, all that kind of
thing.
I return phone calls. And so often in publishing, from my experience, you send your stuff out there and it like goes in a dark hole. You don't hear from the editor. You don't know if they even got it. You don't hear from the agent. And so instead I try to be very different the way I'm operating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I use Hootsuite too, but it takes me a long time to get those tweets composed. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong, Terry, but I just feel like I spend an inordinate amount of time on this stuff, and I don't seem to be sure. I build new followers, but a lot of times I'll find out that they're the followers that are, and I wonder how you feel about this, the ones that say, follow me and I'll get you 100,000 new followers.
Oh yeah, I block those people.
I usually do.
I block the people that don't speak English. If they're speaking in Arabic or something else, I block those people. But I check my followers a couple times a day. But I'm growing what I'm doing there all the time. And I have a list. I keep a list of past tweets that I want to recycle. And so maybe that's something you need to do, Patty, is just reuse those things. You don't have to make a new one every time. And just keep getting it out there and working at it. That's all any of us can do. So.
Well, I look at people like you and I think, wow, he must have some secret, because it just takes me forever to do this. And here you're doing 50 million other things as well. Well, Terry, you do currently serve as an acquisitions editor with Morgan James Publishing, which is out of New York City. Is that correct?
Yes. And we're doing, we're publishing around 150 books a year. We receive over 5,000 submissions a year for those 150 spots.
Wow.
And I would say about 30% of our books at Morgan James are Christian. So that means about 50 of the titles that we publish every year. So those Christian books are sold in the Christian bookstores as well as in the general market stores. So I'm always looking for new books and new authors to publish and help them.
Well, could you explain to the newbie writing community, if you will. What does your position entail, Terry? What is a typical day for you?
Yeah, you know, that's really a good question. My days are all different, I guess, is what I'd say, just like any of us. But my role at the publishing house is as an acquisitions editor means that I'm basically a hunter and gatherer. So I'm looking for material. So authors are sending me their manuscripts, they're sending me their proposals. I'm corresponding with them on email. I'm setting up time to talk with them about their manuscript and about our publishing program. We have a very different kind of publishing model at Morgan James from anything that I've seen out there. And so I spend a lot of time making sure that authors understand that and seeing if it's a good fit for them. If it is, then I write a little recommendation to my publication board, and our pub board at Morgan James meets every week. Those are the leaders in the publishing house that decide whether we're going to issue a contract or not. And then I get the contracts from my publication board, and I will call up the author as well as email them that I've got a publishing contract for them. Then as a part of also what I do, I negotiate that contract with them back and forth, see if it's right for them. Some it is, some it isn't. And if not, you know, we wish them all the best and hope they come back some other time with a different book or something. So
yes.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell what I do. I'm always corresponding with my authors or calling them back and trying to help them with different things with their books.
So if you have an author, Terry, that you like their idea, you like their, say, their characters, their plot and all this, but they're just not quite up to par with their writing skill.
Right.
Do you invest time in that person, or because you have so many submissions, do you basically have to say, sorry, you're not ready, go find somebody that can help you because we can't right now?
Well, you know, that's really a good question. One of the unique things about Morgan James is we don't edit the manuscripts. So I take them through a process where if it's a good book and ready to go, then we would move forward and issue a contract. But if not, we encourage them, but we also encourage them to, you know, keep writing. Maybe they've sent us the wrong book. Maybe there's a different book they need to do. Or I refer people to freelance editors all the time that can help them. I encourage them to go by my blog, by my social media, get to a writer's conference, all those kinds of basics that will encourage them to kind of get on the right track.
Okay. So you don't yourselves perform the service of saying, well, if you take this character and do this with him, or if you would add another character, or if you would do this in your plot, you don't get into that because, once again, you just have so much that I'm sure you can't.
Yeah, no, that's what I learned early on in the writing world. Is, I mean, there's a reason why all of us use form rejections and say thanks, but no thanks, it wasn't a fit. Because, yeah, it's a time saver. My responsibility is basically to look at the author and their manuscript and see if it's good. And that's a subjective call for me, but I've been doing this a long time. And so, my responsibility is not to fix what's out there. I couldn't do that. There's too much of it.
Right. Well, I'm going to once again make listeners aware. We have listeners that sometimes come in the middle of the show, and to make you aware of who you are listening to, you are tuned in to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Terry Whalen. Terry has a long history in writing, publishing, editing, public relations, communications, all kinds of things. He's got a very extensive and impressive history. Right now, Terry works with Morgan James Publishing, and that's what we were just talking about now. And he used to be a literary agent. Terry can be found at terrywhalen.com. He can also be found on Facebook under his name, and I'll spell that for you. His last name is W-H-A-L-I-N. I guess I better spell the first name, too, because that can be spelled differently. First name is Terry, T-E-R-R-Y. And he can be found on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And I will place the links to those different social media venues on my website, which is Patty Sheen, P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E.com. And that's there's a Blog Talk Radio tab there, and you'll find a page called Website and Social Media Information, and you will find that information for all of the guests that we've had here on Step Into the Light. So let's get back to Terry. So Terry, you wrote Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, and I can't recall Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, Insider Secrets to Skyrocket Your Success. Yes, I love that phrase, Inside Secrets to Skyrocket Your Success. So tell us why you are making that claim in your book. What's in there that we're going to find?
Well, Patty, I look at publishing and Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams in the broadest possible sense of the word of publishing, because there's a lot of different kind of publishing that's going on out there. You can publish in magazines, you can publish online, you can publish books, you can do all kinds of publishing. And so this book is really my take on the publishing world out there, and chapter by chapter I try to help writers understand the world that we live in, but also encourage them to take their own actions for their own writing life and figure out how they can get into this world and really succeed. So that's part of what I'm doing. It's sort of a combination of telling my own life stories about different things that have happened to me, but also giving them a lot of resources and different helps, because, you know, I didn't just learn this on my own. You know, I've been reading books, I've been listening to people, I've been reading things online. There's all different kinds of ways that you can learn about this world. And so that's the type of information that I really try to help people get from Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams.
Well, sounds great. Well, you have what you call on your website, and I've looked at your website, and boy, if anybody wants information, they need to go there, because you have got all kinds of information on there, Terry. You talk about the catch-22 of publishing. What does that mean? Talk to us about that.
You know, that's one of the things I came up with related to the publishing world. There's a real problem that new writers in particular have, Patty, because they want to get published, they want to do a book, they want to get out there in the world, but yet they don't have any experience. So it's kind of like back when you're looking at doing your first job, you know, that you have. You need to put a resume together, but you don't have anything to put on that resume. So you're kind of caught in that middle place. And it's the same kind of thing in publishing. I mean, those of us that are editors, we're looking for people that have publishing experience. In other words, they've published books or they've published in the magazine world, so that we can do more publishing with them. And so what I encourage people how to get around the whole catch-22 of publishing and being stuck is to really get published. And one of the easiest ways, from my perspective, for you to get published is to write for magazines, print magazines, online magazines, be writing for them. And then you have something in your repertoire that shows that you have experience, because you publish for magazines are shorter. They're, you know, you have to learn how to write for a target market, which you have to learn to do for books as well. You also learn how to have a great headline. You learn how to have a beginning, a middle, and end to your story. You know, just some basics like that. And you get to practice with something that's like 1,000 words, 40 or 50 or 100,000 words. And it's something easy that you can actually do, and you get experience doing that. So I'm always, that's kind of where I started. I started in the magazine world. I'm still writing for magazines out there. And I have a column in the Southern Writer magazine that I do every issue for those guys. And I think it's a great way for writers to get published. And they're all focused on books. But, you know, that book may only sell 5,000-10,000 copies in the whole lifetime of that book. Where with a magazine article, you can reach 100,000, 150,000, 200,000 people, you know, with that magazine
yes.
article. And so you can have a lot broader impact, too, with your words out there if you just think about that as a possibility.
Somebody said up at, I know you and I have both attended Marlene Bagnell's writers' conferences, both in out here in Colorado and in Philadelphia, and somebody, it may have even been you, said that very thing, that if you want to reach, what is it, if you want to reach 10,000 people, write a book. If you want to reach 100,000 or 500,000, write a magazine article.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people tend to think that, oh, you know, well, I think that part of it, Terry, is that you hear about the more popular books. You hear about them, you know, oh, 13 million copies sold, you know. So you think, oh, if I write a book, I'll reach all these people. And you don't think about the, how many books is it that come out a week, new books? I heard that quote from the last conference.
You know,
are you able to put
a
number on that?
One of my friends is Penny Sansevieri that runs a marketing company in San Diego. And I was at the San Francisco Writers Conference like a year and a half ago and listening to her class. And she told everybody in that class that there were over 4,500 new books that come out every day.
Every day.
4,500.
Wow.
4,500 new books. Now, I know the self-publishing is exploding and all that kind of thing, but that's the information that people need to really grab onto and understand why they have to do their own marketing and promotion for their books, because there's a lot of noise out there and you have to do something to be able to break through that noise with your book at the end of the day.
Yes. You've got to have something to say that people really want to hear, and you've got to be able to say it well.
You do. You do.
Well, Terry, in all of your experience and all of the different things that you have done over the years, what would you say, of course, the premise of our show here, Step Into the Light, is to help people come out of a dark time and back to light. And I ask my guests, what is the darkest time that you experienced in your life? And what did that look like for you? And how did you find your way back to light?
Oh, wow, Patty, that's a really good question. I've had a number of dark periods in my life. I guess the one that I can think of that I would probably go back to is years ago. I was working for Billy Graham. Actually, I was associate editor at Decision Magazine.
And oh, wow.
Back at Decision, we were doing 1.8 million copies of that magazine every month in Minneapolis. And I just loved working for Billy Graham. I learned a ton from being in that situation. But in that particular year, my first wife served divorce papers on me. And so,
oh, man.
I learned that it takes two people to make a marriage, one person to make a divorce. And so I was going through that. And almost simultaneously with shortly after that happened in Minnesota, my boss at Decision sat me down and made a list of about 14 things that he didn't like that I was doing.
Oh, gee.
And gave me a 60-day warning period. And so I went down to the director of human resources and asked what I should do. And she said, well, you got to go talk to your boss to see what you do to take care of. So I made an appointment with him. I went into the meeting and I had all 14 things about how I was doing to take care of them. and resolve them. And he looked at me at the end of the meeting, and he said, he took notes throughout the whole meeting. He said, okay, Terry, how do you think you're doing? I said, well, I'm the eternal optimist here. I think I'm doing great. But the $64,000 question here is, how do you think that I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he took about 10 minutes and discounted every single item. I was out the door, Patty. I mean, the last 30 days that I worked there at Billy Graham, and I love Billy Graham, don't get me wrong, but it was probably some of the most painful of my whole editorial life, because every story that I did, my boss redid and went to the photocopier and copied it. And, you know, the Graham Association keeps endless papers and everything. So I'm sure there's a file somewhere in the Billy Graham Evangelist Association about what a screw-up, you know, Terry Whalen was. But I was, you know, I packed my stuff in a little box, and I was escorted out of the building, you know, at the end of the day. And I wondered what was going to happen to me. But one of my friends said to me, it's almost like God freed me from working at Billy Graham so I could work for the whole body of Christ. And shortly after that is kind of when my writing life exploded, and I co-authored more than a dozen books for different people, and I've just written all kinds of stuff through the years. And so I want to encourage your listeners out there, Patty, no matter what kind of situation that people go through, I find many writers give up too soon with their idea. So all of us are looking for the right person at the right time at the right place with the right stuff. And I know a lot of those rights have to line up for you to be able to get your work out there, whether it be a magazine or a book or whatever. But those opportunities are out there. You just have to not give up and keep looking for that right place.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Terry. And I think, too, a lot of times I bring guests onto the show who also bring light to other people, bring them out of their darkness. And you definitely do that with all of the material that you offer on your website and all of the teaching that you do at conferences and all of this. You definitely help people that are frustrated and discouraged. And I know in writers there's a lot of disillusionment, and there's loneliness that leads to that you have to travel down that kind of a road to publishing success. And it sounds like your Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams maybe helps writers do that. But I wanted to ask you too, Terry, you also, if I understand correctly, are quite involved in a lot of public relations type thing and communications. Is that correct?
To a degree, I don't market other people's stuff, but I do, I write book reviews, and I have 5,000 friends on Goodreads. It has 40 million people over there. And so I do a lot of that kind of stuff. Just, it's one of the ways that I support the writing community. So if I read a book and like it, or whether I don't like it, it only takes me a couple minutes, you know, to go over to Amazon, write a review of the book, and tell people what I think about it. It's just a way that I support other people out there. Nobody pays me anything for that, but I've written over 550 reviews on Amazon, for example.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I come back to the question we were talking a little bit before the show about what your schedule looks like for this year as far as conferences and all that. And I guess what I don't understand, Terry, is time management. How in the world do you manage to find the time to do all this?
Well, you know, I try to say yes if people ask me. I mean, you asked me last week to appear on the show, and I looked at my schedule and said I could do it. And so that's, you know, you try to just seize the different opportunities that you have, Patty. I am traveling to different places in the country. People can look at my writings, my travel schedule. It's on my website, and I hope they take advantage of that and show up, and we can meet and talk about their books.
And opportunities to meet with you. Yeah, for sure. Carrie, you live out here in Colorado, and if I understand correctly, you also have your own business, which is I can't remember the name of it now. I'm sorry, Terry Whalen Associates or something like that up there in Highlands Ranch.
Yes,
is that correct? And what all
I
does that entail, among all the other things that you do?
Well, you know, I started realizing that there was a lot of things that I could do. So I, you know, I sell my own books. I sell different information products. There's a lot of things that I do independently of what I do at Morgan James. Most of those things, they're pretty much, you know, you set them up and they run themselves kind of thing. But, but yeah, that's my main thing that I'm doing is working as an acquisitions editor at Morgan James. But
right.
Yeah, I have my hands in a few other things out there too.
Do you have anybody working for you? Not at Morgan James, but I mean in your editing and all that you do. It's just all by yourself.
I do not.
Oh my goodness, Terry. So tell us, if a person was interested in hiring you as an editor, how would they go about doing that?
You know, they just email me and tell me about the project, see if it's something that I could fit into my schedule and that I'm interested in doing. And if so, we could negotiate something and work it out. If I don't do a lot of that kind of thing anymore, I'm not really writing books for other people so much anymore. I'm basically focused on my work and what I'm doing at Morgan James, which has been a lot of fun.
Now, if a person were to submit work to Morgan James and the pub board likes it, it comes to contract time, is there any money exchange from the author to the company?
You know, that's a good question. We do have an entrepreneurial skin in the game part of our model. We're not a self-publisher, so all the books that we sell in the bookstore, that's all on the publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for every book that we publish, we're going to spend probably $10,000, $20,000 into that
process. Yeah.
For our New York Times bestsellers, it's common that we're going to spend $250,000 on those books before we get any money back. So
mm-hmm.
in our
mm-hmm.
contract, we do have a we ask the writer to commit to buying, on the nonfiction side, it's 2,500 copies of their own book. Now, they get the books from us at our exact print cost plus $2. So it's an upfront investment. When somebody signs one of our contracts, we ask them to give us that $2 over the print price of the book.
Uh-huh.
So it's $2 times 2,500. It's basically $5,000 upfront. And then what do we need? Then the print cost for buying the books is additional to that. And what we mean by that is our contract says if your book is 200 pages and you buy that book in quantities from us, then you're going to get that book for $1.57 each.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very common to sell a 200-page book when you speak or on your website for $19.95. So that's $50,000 of gross revenue you're going to make selling all those books. Our typical author is selling 2,500 copies of their own book in the first year to 18 months that their book's in print.
Wow.
Because of our free marketing help that we give writers, we're still coaching authors that came to us in 2005. So we've been doing this for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no charge for that. That's where we teach authors what they could, should be doing, hold them as accountable as they'll let us. And so that's all a part of the program. We do pay a small advance to Morgan James. We give them a traditional royalty contract, and we pay those royalties monthly and get their book out there into the bookstore in about 6 to 8 months as opposed to 18 to 24 months, which is very typical. So we have a very unique kind of model that we do, and that's what I spend most of my days doing, is explaining all that to people and seeing if it's the right thing for them or not.
Well, the fact that you help with that marketing is a huge facet of the whole thing, because I couldn't imagine contacting 2,500 people to buy my book.
Well, you know, there is a way that you can do it. I mean, with the internet, it's a great equalizing force out there. So there's just a lot of opportunity for people. You can, you know, you can be on the radio like we're doing. You can do all kinds of different things out there to promote your book. And we know it's really working with our authors, and that's the kind of information that we pass along to you.
I guess the frustration for someone like me, Terry, I hear you talking about promotion, and here I am down here in southeastern Colorado in a town of 2,500 people, you know, and most of them are retired people on fixed incomes, or they're not really economically set, and it's real difficult for me to imagine contacting that many people that would even be interested or would even have $19.95 to buy a book from me, you know? So that's where
Patty,
someone like you would be so helpful.
All of us are connected to the internet, and you know, you can get a PayPal button for free, and people can use their credit card wherever they are in the world. I mean, it's not like the old days where we weren't all connected to each other. I mean, I Skype and talk with authors all over the world. I mean, I have authors in Australia and the UK, and I'm talking to a guy tomorrow morning that's in Nepal. And so I'm working with authors all over the world, and it's because we have this unlimited opportunity out there with the internet to be connected to people.
Well, it's just like this show. I don't know if I have any international listeners on this show, but the show that I used to do with a ministry partner who was already established well in this radio business, we used to get listeners from overseas, and a couple of them would write and say, "Wow, it's just so amazing that we can hear your show from the United States, clear over here in West Africa or wherever, you know." So yeah, I understand what you're saying with that. Terry, tell us a little bit about you. You mentioned that you had worked for for Billy Graham. Tell us a little bit about the biography that you wrote about him and what that was like and what it was like to know him that well.
Well, you know, I love Mr. Graham, and he's 97 years old, still very much alive. No one has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ face to face more than Billy Graham. He's done that more than anybody else on the planet. You know, which is a huge claim to be able to do that. But remarkable man from simple beginnings, grew up on a dairy farm in Charlotte, North Carolina, getting up at 2:30 in the morning to go milk the cows and stuff like that. And so I actually wrote a biography that Bethany House published in about 2002 about Billy Graham. And that book was a part of a series of books that Bethany House was doing called Men of Faith, but it's long out of print. And about a year and a half ago, Mr. Graham was not in good health, and I knew that I would be doing national publicity and stuff whenever Mr. Graham passes. But I thought, selfishly to myself, this is really going to be a bad deal for Terry Whalen when that happens, because I don't even have a book in the bookstore about the guy. But I work for a New York publishing house, so we got the book back into print. I completely updated it. Years ago, I didn't get any endorsements. I didn't get a forward. So for this new book, I got people like Philip Yancey and Johnny Erickson Tata and different people like that to write little things about the book. I got Luis Palau, who I've written a couple books for Luis. I got him to do the foreword for the book, and completely updated my old book and got it back out there into the bookstore. Now, it's not a long book. It's only 172 pages, so people in an evening or two could do it. Young kids can read it, young readers, and it's just a great way of people learning the overall story about the life of Billy Graham.
Oh, that sounds really neat, Terry. Speaking of Johnny Erickson Tada, I got to meet her at, she spoke at the Word of Life over there in upstate New York. My sister happens to live in the town in Scroon Lake where Word of Life is. And she was doing a presentation that night, and some friends of my sister's and I went over there. My sister couldn't go. I can't remember what happened, but she decided she couldn't go. But anyway, I got to shake hands with her and visit with her for about 20 seconds, and it was nice. She's somebody that I would enjoy talking to.
She's an amazing person.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, I believe that accident that she sustained, that she had, occurred in that town when she was a kid, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think so. But it was kind of I felt very fortunate because they cut off the line right behind me. There was all kinds of people in line to see her, and she had to go in and speak at a certain time, and they said, well, we need to give her a few minutes before she goes to speak, so we need to cut this line off here. You're the last one that gets to see her. So I thought, wow, that was pretty neat. Well, Carrie, is there any other
person?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just listening to her speak, she was so inspiring. Oh my goodness. I think I have problems and I listen to her and it's like, wow. Terry, we just have a few minutes left on the show. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners that anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about publishing or making your way to success or about what you have learned in the Christian faith or?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Patty. I guess my encouragement to your listeners is, a lot of times in the writing world, we feel like nobody cares about our work. We feel like all the agents are full, that the literary agents don't really care, that the editors don't care. I guess I just encourage your listeners to understand that we are actively looking. I've been in some of the top literary agencies in New York City. I've met with these people, and they're all asking me, Terry, where's the next bestseller? You know, where's the next Prayer of Jabez? Where's the next Left Behind book?
Right.
Where's the next Joel Osteen? We're all looking. We may receive thousands of emails and thousands of pitches every single day, but in the middle of all that, you should just understand that people are actively looking for your stuff. And I find many writers give up too soon. They don't take advantage of the opportunities that are right there around them. And so I just want to encourage them to get out there and get involved. Nothing's going to get published if it's sitting in your computer or sitting in your desk drawer. So you have to actively take steps to be out there in the marketplace and see what happens.
Well, that's very true. And I know I'm one who is guilty of that, because I've got a lot of things sitting here on this computer that I keep saying, oh, someday I'll send it. Someday I'll work on it. Someday I'll make it better.
Well, it all starts just taking one step and actively doing that step over and over. People wonder how in the world I do all this stuff. And it's not that I'm the greatest writer or the greatest communicator, but I am persistent and consistent. And so that's the kind of person that you want to become. If you're not that person right now, it's just to be taking action every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Terry, can't thank you enough for your time. It was wonderful to have you here on the show. I wish you the very best with all of you. Let me ask you one last question. What's your next great project? What's your next big project? You've got to have something going on as far as writing.
As far as writing, I'm really not sure, Patty. I don't have a lot of books, and these days I'm not doing so much writing. I'm mostly helping other people get their materials out there through my work at Morgan James. So I'd love for your listeners to reach out to me and send me their stuff, and let's get it out there into the bookstore.
All righty. Sounds like a plan. Well, once again, Terry, thank you so much for all of your time. Appreciate you coming on the show. I'm sure that listeners have learned a lot from you. To our listeners,
I'm grateful
I would
for
like...
the opportunity, Patty, and I'm just eager to help anybody out there that needs my help.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much. To our listeners, I would like to remind you in closing that when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Hope you come back and visit us next week, which will be the 12th of April. And once again, Terry, thank you so much for spending time with us. God bless you, and I wish you much success in all of your future endeavors.
God bless you, Patty. Thank you so much.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings